To the Hour of the Time, and I'm Pooh.
I'm Doyle.
And I'm William Cooper.
I pledge allegiance to the flag, to the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You haven't a clue what to do when you cross your folly.
You dive your fingers up and down my spine. Same old witch path when your eyes be mine. Touch him on tingle, that feel inside. Then that elevator starts to slide. Down and down I go. All around I go. I could leave, that could have died. I could stand away, but what could I do? I hear a name, I'm a flame. A flame with functional brain. That real pitch has put out that fire.
Why does the brother I have planned so?
Let me get paid, be created so. And every time my nose is so, the light goes down and down I go. All around I go. In a sin, love in a sin that I'm in, out of that old black bag they call love.
Magic. Magic is real, ladies and gentlemen. I watched some of it last night on the Larry King show. Oh yes, magic is real. Magic is the art of illusion. Magic is practiced by the magi, by the spin doctors, the propagandists, the liars, the controllers, if you will. And they certainly got control. Something big is really afoot here. We have a president that needs to be impeached. And if the American people do not impeach him, then the American people have no credibility. They have taken a lot of steps to try and ensure that William Jefferson Clinton does not get impeached. If you were watching the Larry King show last night, you saw, guess who? H. Ross Perot. Now, ladies and gentlemen, he's putting together a, quote, grassroots, end quote, movement to petition the president to resign. Resign? No, this guy shouldn't resign. This man has committed treason. He's committed felonies. He's got to be impeached. And if he's not impeached, then what it means is anybody can get away with just damn near about anything. It has nothing to do with sex, folks. The Democratic Party is trying to convince the Judiciary Committee that the impeachment hearings, if they are held, should only be about Monica Lewinsky and nothing else, because they know what else is going to come out of the woodwork, and so do I, and so do many of you. And the Republicans are pretending like they want to open it up and allow everything to come in. And here you have H. Ross Perot gathering his millions of sheeple to sign petitions to demand that the president resign. Now, I know William Jefferson Clinton. I've been watching him for many years. You could give him 250 million petitions to resign, and he's still not going to do it. But because he's a megalomaniac. His ego is bigger than this whole nation, this whole continent, probably. He wants to stay for his legacy. How many petitions do you think H. Ross Perot can gather between now and the first week of December when he says he's going to put together this big truck convoy to carry the petitions from all over the country to Washington, D.C., and then ceremoniously present them to whoever whoever is going to be standing there to accept them? I guarantee it's not going to be Clinton. How many petitions do you think he can gather? I think that he can gather more than you can even imagine. I think that he will come up with more signatures on more petitions to fill more trucks than anybody listening to this broadcast can even imagine. That's what I think. But you know what? I think the nation's going to be involved with other things. You see, because I don't think H. Ross Perot gives a damn whether William Jefferson Clinton resigns or not. Remember his shenanigans about running for president? And, of course, it was just an accident that Larry King pulled it out of him on the Larry King Show, just like this petition drive was revealed on the Larry King Show. You see, folks, Larry King is a player in all of this. You want to get something rolling, you want to announce it to the world, you want to keep something going that should be dead, that's what Larry King is all about. You see, this Monica Lewinsky thing would have died a long, long, long time ago. You know who kept it going? Larry King Live. Larry King Live kept it going. Nobody else cared. Larry King Live is responsible for keeping the whole thing going. And that's the truth. Every night on Larry King Live, it was Monica Lewinsky, Monica Lewinsky, Monica Lewinsky, and William Jefferson Clinton. And the height of contempt for the American people came when Larry King asked, if it wasn't the media, meaning the print media, the stories in the newspapers, that were keeping this thing going. I almost fell off the couch. Larry, you know who's keeping this thing going. It's you, Larry. They wouldn't even be printing those stories in the newspapers if it wasn't for Larry King Live. How could they possibly ignore it? But like I said, ladies and gentlemen, I think the American people are going to be involved with other things. Remember what I told you about October? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you right now that the economic situation in all of the other countries in the world is absolutely terrifying. Terrifying. Russia has completely melted down. I mean completely. People throw rubles in the streets. They're worthless. There is no monetary system in Russia today. Nobody will accept rubles at all. They barter. There was a big bailout given to Russia by the International Monetary Fund, and that money was used to give to the banks so that they could pay their depositors when they made runs on the banks so that the system would not fall apart. The banks took the bailout money and used it, ladies and gentlemen, to sell rubles on the exchange for dollars. And then they either kept the dollars themselves or they used them to purchase hard assets, to protect themselves and their depositors ate it. Ate it. The Russian people went to the bank to withdraw their funds, and the bank closed their doors. The banks closed their doors. This is dangerous. Because I'll tell you one thing right now, in Russia, with the political situation so desperate, and with the people clamoring for communism to come back to give them the security that they lost when they were, quote, democratized, end quote. There could be a military takeover of that country at any time. At any time. Especially when the military has not been paid. Listen to me carefully. The military has not been paid in many months. Possibly a year and a half. The political situation in Russia is dangerous. Incredibly so. And the people in Washington, D.C. are pretending like they don't know anything about it. In the Far East, the economy of Indonesia, Malaysia, Vietnam. I could go on and continue to name just about every Asian country that exists. They are in meltdown. Japan is in the deepest trouble that you can imagine. Banks are collapsing. Nobody is repaying loans. The entire Asian economy hinges upon Japan. China is worried. I'm talking about the People's Republic of China, Communist China, is worried. They're trying to take steps so that they don't have to devalue their money, but they will. The yen is at its lowest point since the early 50s now, in comparison with the dollar. The European economy is on a slide that has no bottom. Australia is in deep trouble. New Zealand is in deep trouble. Mexico is in deep trouble. Brazil has collapsed. Now you remember the days when if Alan Greenspan just twitched his lip the wrong way, the market would dip 20 or 30 points? He's been very vocal about the collapse of the global economy, and nobody is listening to him. Nobody is listening to him. Just on a rumor that they might lower the interest rate, the New York Stock Exchange shot up 100 points. When they only lowered it a quarter point, the New York Stock Exchange has lost over 500 points in the last 2 days. And it will continue to drop. Today, the NASDAQ fell 80 points. Listen to me very carefully. Those of you who have been listening to this broadcast since it began know that my record of accuracy when I make a prediction is the best in the world, bar none. Bar none. But if you want to listen to people like Sean David Morton and Gordon Scallion and all of these other people, you can. But you had better listen to me. In May of 1997, I said on this radio broadcast that the New York Stock Exchange would fall over 500 points on October the 24th of 1997, and it did. It did. I told you when that happened that it was the beginning of a worldwide economic collapse that had been engineered in order to level the playing field for the socialists in order that they might have their new world economic order, which is one world government. You're now hearing open talk about whether or not Alan Greenspan can save the global economy. You're hearing politicians openly discuss a global Federal Reserve Board. This is October. This month, it's coming down around your ears. And if you have any investments in paper, you had better get those investments out of paper. And I mean immediately, you had better do it now. Now, for those of you who are going to criticize me saying that I'm going to cause the market to crash, I'm going to tell you that you're not playing with a full deck of cards, because even with my record, very few people will listen to me and very few people will take my advice. Those people will save themselves. The rest of you are going to lose your butts over the next few weeks. It's coming down this month. This month, October. Remember, I told you that on or before October the 25th, the New York Stock Exchange would lose 2,500 points. 2,500 points. That was when it was about at 9,300 and something. It's already lost 1,800 points. I'm almost at my mark. Nobody else in the world told you that. Nobody else in the world had the guts to tell you that, although a lot of people in this world know what I'm talking about, and they know what's coming. It could be worse than that, ladies and gentlemen. You see, in my predictions, I try to be a little conservative. So if you think 2,500 points is a lot, you're wrong. When I said it, the market was about 9,300 and some odd points. And I said, on or before October the 25th of this year, the market would fall over 2,500 points. It's already lost over 1,800 points, ladies and gentlemen. I don't have much farther to go to be right again. And I will be right again this month. This month. Not because God whispers in my ear. Not because I hear voices from the beyond. Not because I communicate with any Commander Hatton of the 9th Space Earth Sector, or whatever the hell Contact Magazine calls this non-existent bullshit artist. Not because I'm looking at a crystal ball, but because I know the socialist plan to bring about what they call their utopian world government. I know their timetable. I've been watching their machinations in third world countries and in the Far East for a long, long time, and I could see this coming and knew the exact date that it would happen. How did I know that? What is the significance of October the 24th? Well, if you study the history of socialism and communism, you will see that that is a very important date. An extremely important date. It is the anniversary of the October Revolution in the Soviet Union. It is the anniversary of the founding, the birth of the United Nations. And a lot, lot more. But that's your homework. Research the date. And send me your papers for grading. Every significant stock market crash in the history of capitalism has happened on October the 24th. And I hear people all the time say, oh, what a coincidence. Oh, spare me. Don't spare me. You know, it would be so tragic if it wasn't so funny. Oh, spare me. This year, October the 24th, falls on a weekend. Which doesn't mean anything. Except something significant will happen on that date. And this month, all paper assets in this country are coming down around your ears. Literally. Including the paper assets in your wallet called Federal Reserve notes, which are worthless, worth nothing. Now, I talk to people all the time who look at me and say, how can you say that? What do you mean worth nothing? I can go down and buy a car with this Federal Reserve notes. I said, no, you can't. You just think you do. That's why you get a certificate of title instead of the actual allodial. Title to the car. You don't own it. A certificate of title just attests that a title exists, but you don't have it. It's in the hands of the real owner, which is the state. You see, a Federal Reserve note is only an instrument of debt. It's not a note at all. It's a fraud. It's a counterfeit. It is not what it says up on its face. Therefore, it is counterfeit. It is a lie. It is worth nothing. You have been convinced that it has some value, and the only value that it has is that which the fools that believe it has value assign to it. There's a simple experiment that you can perform to prove to yourself that it is worthless. It is not backed by anything, and that is admitted by the Federal Reserve and the United States government. The Federal Reserve is a private corporation, not a part of the United States government. The only part of the Federal Reserve that is affected by the United States government is the appointment of the chairman of the Federal Reserve by the President of the United States. That's it. All of the member banks and all of the assets of the Federal Reserve are owned by private individuals or corporations, including the banks themselves. Lay down on your coffee table in front of you a $1 bill. For those of you that have any, most of you running around with credit cards and checks may not have seen a $1 Federal Reserve note in many years. Lay down next to it a 5, next to that a 10, next to that a 20, next to that a 50, and next to that a $100 Federal Reserve note. And then I want you to look at them and see if you can spot the difference in value between any of them. What is the actual difference in value between the one that has the $1 written on it and the one that has the $100 written on it? There isn't any. They're all pieces of paper. They're all exactly the same size. They all have ink on them. They can't even be used for note paper. They are worthless except the imaginary value that you have assigned to them. They are not backed by anything. They are pieces of paper. Pieces of paper. A dollar is not money, and paper is not money. The money of account of the United States of America is gold and silver coin. A dollar is not money. A dollar is a specific unit of measurement of gold or silver coin. A measurement in weight and purity of either gold or silver, which makes up a unit called $1. So when you look at those notes, the first thing you have to understand that is a note is a promise to pay something. There is nothing backing a Federal Reserve note, therefore it is not a note because the United States will not pay you anything for it. they will take it and exchange it for another Federal Reserve note, and that's as good as you can get. It is not a note. If you think it is, look up the definition of note in any law dictionary that you can find anywhere, and you will see that it is not a note. There is no Federal Reserve. There's nothing on reserve to back what they call Federal Reserve notes. There is no reserve, ladies and gentlemen. It's a scam. It is a lie. The Federal Reserve is not owned or operated by the United States government. Period. The United States government has no influence over the Federal Reserve Board except to appoint the chairman of the board. That's it. They cannot tell the chairman of the board what to do, how to act, or how to do it. He is autonomous and is one of the most powerful men in the world. It is all coming down. It's over. And they'll use this as the excuse to cement the one world economic system. And if you look at the definition of government, it is an economic system. All governments are economic systems, ladies and gentlemen. Once a world economic system is instituted and a world Federal Reserve Board is appointed and in place, world government is a reality from that point onward. It's really a reality now, except you can't see it. Now, if you think I'm full of baloney, you'd better open your ears and start listening to what everybody is saying in Washington, D.C. and in the capitals around the world. You had better start listening to Alan Greenspan. You had better start listening to the congressmen on C-SPAN as they talk about this world global economic collapse. And you had better get your money out of paper investments immediately. If not sooner, you should have done it a long time ago. They're telling you the truth, and you're not listening. They're telling you how serious it is, and you're not listening. They are telling you what's going to happen, and you are not listening. I have been telling you for a long time, and you have not been listening. You had better listen now. Now. It's over. Within a few weeks, the middle class in this country is going to be the poor class, poverty-stricken. Jobs are going to disappear. Companies are going to close. People are going to lose their faith in what they believe now is money. Because it is not, and they're going to discover it very quickly. Haven't you ever wondered when you pay off your house why you didn't get the actual allodial patent title to that property? All you got was a warrant deed. Did you ever wonder about that? You see, if you pay for something with a notice of debt, which is backed by nothing and can be exchanged for nothing, you have not purchased it. And since you paid for it with a notice of debt of the United States of America, guess who owns it? The United States of America owns it. Or the state of Arizona, or the state of California. Wherever that real title resides. And it does not reside with you. That's why I've made sure over the years to make small investments in things where there is no record and that can be used as barter or trade or as real money and that does not require a title or a deed or a patent or allodial. Not much, because I've never had much. and it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to my children's trust. But at least we've taken those precautions. Most of you have been listening to us tell you this for years and have done nothing. They've done nothing to prepare. Even though you can look in history and see that all paper economies have always ended up in absolute failure, rampant, worthless inflation, where everybody became poor literally overnight, and the government began cranking out money by the truckload. And every time they create a new truckload, the money that you held in your pocket became less and less valuable. And it's not money anyway. Money must be a commodity, must have intrinsic worth of its own, separate from any value that anybody may hold in their imagination. Wheat can be used as money, but it has a short lifespan if it's not stored properly. Gold and silver coin lasts a long, 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 long time and have a lot of intrinsic value within themselves. That's why they're money. Titanium, platinum can be used as money. Toilet paper can be used as money if there's someone who needs toilet paper and is willing to trade you something for it. The same with coffee. If people are addicted to coffee, coffee can be used as money with those people. It cannot be used as money with people who do not drink coffee. I hope you're listening to me, ladies and gentlemen. It's all coming down this month, October. It would take a miracle to prevent it. If the only news that you get is off the boob tube in your living room or off your AM and FM radio, then you know absolutely nothing that is occurring in the rest of the world. And I'm telling you now, what is occurring in the rest of the world is as bad or worse. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's worse in many instances than the great 1929 depression in this country, which, by the way, was itself a worldwide depression. It is worse in many countries than that depression already. If you know somebody in Russia, call them and find out. If you know somebody in Mexico, call them and talk to them. If you know somebody in Brazil, call them and talk to them. If you know someone in Indonesia, call them and talk to them. You will find out that Americans do not ever get the truth through our media. It's bad news time. And everybody's walking around as if nothing is happening. As if nothing is happening. Call someone that you know in Tokyo, in Japan, and ask them what's happening with their economy. And they will probably break down and cry over the phone while they are preparing their sword to commit Harry Caray. The suicide level in Japan today is as high as it's ever been in their history. Things are bad. And the American people walk around as if they are walking in their sleep without any understanding or knowledge of the terrible danger that is just in front of them within the next few days, possibly. Why is it that if Alan Greenspan sneezed, the market would go up or down quite a bit? Now he's telling you openly in public with no hesitation that there is a global economic crisis. And he says clearly, the United States cannot escape the repercussions of global interdependence in the global economy. These are harsh words from a man who knows that if he just says anything, he could cause a market crash, and people are not paying any attention to him. Is this the ultimate denial? Go back and read your newspaper accounts as to what has happened when Alan Greenspan has just hinted that there might be a slight increase in interest rates. And look at what happened on the market. Now he's telling you that there is a global economic crisis. Not problem. Crisis. That the world is in trouble. That several countries have completely melted down. Their economy has collapsed. As I have warned you over the years, that was going to happen. You don't need a crystal ball if you know who's in charge and what their plan is. It's easy. Doesn't call for panic either. It just calls for prudent, responsible preparation. If you're still living in a huge metropolitan population center, and you didn't get out a long time ago and I told you you should, I don't know if you can get out in time. I do know you can make preparations. You can store food and water. You can make sure you have a source of spiritual renewal or sustenance. You can ensure that you have things that you can use for money. If you cannot buy gold or silver coin, and if you do, you should buy them in the smallest denominations and not collector's coins. Just regular, run-of-the-mill, ordinary, smallest denomination gold and silver coins, like mercury dimes, 10th ounces of gold. If you can't afford to do that, then buy things that you can afford, things that may not be available to those who must have them when things get really bad. You should have warm clothing. And you should have warm clothing for when that clothing wears out. You should have a place where you can grow a garden, and you should have seeds, open pollinating seeds, so that you can plant a garden. Those of you living in areas where you can purchase and keep chickens should have chickens. They lay eggs. If you live in the country where they have a good area which they can forage for bugs and things that they eat, you don't have to feed them. This is the way that you should be thinking. This is why so many people in the Great Depression of 1929 were not prepared. And so were so terribly hurt. It also had a lot to do with poor farming methods and a lot of other things. It also had to do with the Federal Reserve holding back money from the people, which caused a depression. See, there are no reserves now. There's nothing to hold back. They're going to have the same paper that you have. Doesn't matter whether they hold it back or give it to you. It still is worthless. Back then, and this is what they don't tell you when they say that the cause was that the Federal Reserve held back money. the money was gold and silver coin. The dollar was backed by real money. It was called currency. Now they don't call it currency because it's not. Currency must have something backing it. These are counterfeit baloney pieces of paper covered with ink. Nothing backs it. There is no reserve. There's nothing for them to hold back, and there's nothing for them to give you except more paper, which always causes inflation. So if they pump up the presses and start pumping money into the economy, and they've already told you they're going to do that, haven't they? And what are they blaming it on? Just as I told you, the danger is not in Y2K. It is what the people's perception of Y2K may cause. The Federal Reserve has already ordered the printing of $50 billion in Federal Reserve notes to flood into the economy when people fearful of Y2K make a run on the banks to empty their accounts. Why do they have to do that? Because there isn't any money in the banks. This is a paper economy. Most of you use credit cards and checks. You could never find enough Federal Reserve notes to cover the debts, the real debts and the real payments that need to be made. This is a runaway debt-based economy that has absolutely no money behind it. So when all of the people are scared to death of Y2K and make a run on the bank to empty their accounts before the computers go haywire, the Federal Reserve will flood the banks with this $50 billion in new money. And guess what happens when you flood an economy with worthless pieces of paper? Ask the Germans who were alive during the Weimar Republic. Ask the Germans who were alive after World War I. Ask them. And if you can't ask them, go find a book and read about it. A woman would go to the bakery to buy a loaf of bread for 2 marks. By the time she got there, inflation was so rampant that the loaf of bread now cost 10 marks. She would go home to get 8 more marks. She would come back with 10 marks and find out that just in the time she left the bakery and went home to get her money and come back, inflation had caused the value of that loaf of bread to go up to 25 marks. She could never go to the bakery with enough money. And so she never had a loaf of bread. It got so bad that people went shopping with wheelbarrows full of paper marks. Now, some of you are probably laughing and saying, oh, he made that one up. No, I didn't make it up, ladies and gentlemen. It is a fact. A fact. So you see, all of you are running around worried about Y2K. It's not Y2K you have to worry about. It is the effect that the propaganda about Y2K is going to have on the sheeple of the world. That's what you have to worry about. Y2K is not a problem. I told you that. And even if it causes some things to go haywire or shut down, they will be started back up. Ricky-ticky, I guarantee you, and the problems will be solved as quickly as possible wherever they may occur. Most of the problems concerning Y2K have already been solved, have already been taken care of, are of no consequence whatsoever. But the panic caused by the panic spreaders, many of them masquerading as good, patriotic, and religious Americans, but who are really operating in furtherance of the Hegelian dialectic to furnish the antithesis which will cause a great crisis, a catastrophe, and out of that will come a synthesis which I guarantee you is not going to be good for any of us. Thus spake Zarathustra. That just blew Doyle's mind. I know many of you don't even understand what I just said. Look it up. That's your second bit of homework for tonight. Look it up. About a couple more seconds, we're going to turn this tape over and proceed. So I'll do that right now.